All right, if you would, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Last time we looked at verses 1 through 6 in chapter 12, and we briefly looked at the woman mentioned, and I believe we established without a doubt the man-child mentioned is Jesus Christ. And we're going to pick back up with this woman and her child tonight. But the question we ask tonight is, who is the woman? We kind of went backwards and started with the child first, because I think knowing who the child is, it tells us who the woman has to be, and there is no doubt. And as I mentioned, there's all kinds of speculations and false teachings out there on who the woman is, for sure, but there's also a lot of dispute over who the man-child is, which I don't understand, because it's very clear who it is. But there, believe it or not, there are some people out there that don't agree with us on that. But it's very evident who these two are, I believe, if you compare Scripture with Scripture, as I keep saying. From many different false female prophets down through history, and even some religious people have claimed, even who some religious people have claimed her to be. We know this woman, it was not a, that he's describing here, was not a particular woman by name anyway. Some will try to say it was Mary, because she was the earthly mother of Christ. Mary doesn't fit this either. Some have tried to say that we looked at the Queen of Heaven last time, and we know from what other Scripture tells us, the Queen of Heaven is representative of the Semiramis, the Babylonian mystery religion goddess. So that doesn't fit. We also discussed that she cannot be the Lord's church, as some try to teach today. Some have tried to say, there are some out there who try to call themselves Baptist that try to teach that this is the church, and it's not. The thing that proves that wrong is that the church did not give birth to the Son of God. That's ridiculous. He did not institute the church, did not organize his church until his earthly ministry. So she was not even around at his birth. The thought, the prophecies of the church were, of course, but the church had not begun yet. And remember, it was the Lord who created the church, and the church did not create the Lord. That would be in reverse. So who is the woman? Well, remember, we talked about Mary. Mary, our Lord's earthly mother, did not flee into the wilderness for 3.5 years, as stated in verse 6. Before we go any further, let's read verses 1 through 6 again. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her for 1,260 days. 3.5 years. Remember that. So, this woman. Remember, I said Mary. Remember Mary, the earthly mother of Christ, did not flee in the wilderness for 3.5 years. Now, her and Joseph, we read in that story that at the time that Herod had come and was killing all the young male children of 2 years and younger, they did flee to Egypt. But it doesn't say the wilderness. It says they fled to Egypt. So there's a difference there. Egypt was not known as the wilderness. Now, there was a wilderness between Israel and Egypt, but that's not where they went. They went all the way to Egypt, it tells us. So Mary certainly does not fit this this woman that's described here. And there's other things. I mean, Mary, he says in verse 1, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Mary never had a crown that is ever spoken of. Now, she may have crowns as far as her her spiritual works and those types of things as any of God's children will have in the end, but this upon her head a crown of 12 stars does not fit Mary. It's my understanding that this crown of 12 stars would be the 12 tribes of Israel, and this woman is Israel. If you go back to the Old Testament in particular, you see God refers to Israel as a woman in many places. And we see, particularly in our study in Jeremiah, where at one point God referred to Israel as his wife because he divorces her. He gave her a letter of divorcement. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66 and verses 7 and 8. And remember, we've looked at Isaiah before. Isaiah has lots of prophecy in it that tells of Christ, of his coming, of both his comings, actually. If you go and read it enough, we mostly concentrate on his earthly coming the first time when he came as a child, because it's so evident in Isaiah and other places of when he came, and then there's also in Isaiah where he talks about his death, burial, and resurrection. But here, he talks about the woman. Verse 7, but she travailed. She brought forth before her pain came. She was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now, notice she delivers the man-child before she travails. It's just the opposite of natural birth. In a natural birth with a woman or any female animal on the earth, the travailing comes as that's the what do you call it? The labor, the time of labor. That's what I'm trying to think of. Anyway, so the labor pains that she goes through is travailing. That's what it's referred to in the scripture. And so, and the pain that she goes through during that time. And what he's talking about here, she's delivered the man-child, Israel has delivered the man-child before she travails. And he says in verse 8, who hath heard of such a thing? It's not natural. This is not a natural thing. This is not something that we commonly think of. And he says, who has seen such things? This has never been seen before. Christ comes from the, as far as his lineage, his earthly lineage, comes from Israel. All the way back through the line of David and all the way back to Abraham. And notice he says also in verse 8, for as soon as Zion travailed, who is Zion? Zion is always referred to as the land of Israel, right? She brought forth her children. Now he says her children. Not her child, but her children. Who's her children? Those are God's elect that come out of the nation of Israel. Those are God's children. The family of God that is within the nation of Israel. And so we see here in Isaiah, the prophecy of what we just read in Revelation. It is Israel from which Christ comes from in the flesh. Romans chapter 9 in verses 3 and 5, 3 through 5. Romans chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. And remember, Paul was a Jew. Paul wrote the book of Romans. Paul talks a lot about the nation of Israel because that was his greatest love. Earthly love was his brothers and sisters in Israel, because he was a Jew himself. He had been a member of the Sanhedrin, so he was truly of Jewish lineage, as far as what he tells us. So Romans chapter 9 verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He's speaking of Israel here. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen, whom is concerning the flesh Christ came. Concerning the flesh, in the flesh, Christ came from Israel. So there's no doubt that's where he came from. So that's who, and back in Revelation chapter 12, this woman has to be Israel, nobody else. So Israel gave birth to Christ before she travailed. She will travail during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's when she will give forth her children. That's when the nation will be saved in a day. Now, and we'll get back to that thought in a moment. Now, what about this dragon that's mentioned in verse 3, in Revelation 12, verse 3? And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Notice the first wonder was the woman. There's another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Remember, the dragon is Satan. I think we've already established that in other studies we've done in Revelation. When he refers to this dragon, it's always referring to Satan. Some get the beast confused with the dragon, and they're two different entities. The dragon's always going to be referring to Satan. The beast that he talks about in Revelation, and we'll look at this in a moment, and we're going to next week, we're going to come back and we're going to do a deeper study on the dragon and the beast in chapter 12, and we'll finish chapter 12 with that next time. But for tonight, the dragon represents Satan. The beast is always controlled by Satan. Satan can't control himself. That's ridiculous. He controls the beast. And we'll look at that in a moment. He left heaven. Satan, speaking of Satan, he left heaven when he decided to challenge God for God's throne. When that sin of pride entered, and he rebelled against God, and has ever since been trying to fight for God's throne, which is an impossibility. He will never win, and we know he's read the end of the book a lot more times than we ever have, and he knows what was predicted. Now, he's for whatever reason, and I know this is God's purpose in things, he still has that mindset that he could still win, or he wouldn't still be fighting. He has wreaked havoc on his earth ever since. Remember, when he left heaven, he did not leave alone. He took with him fallen angels. Now, we see in verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And remember, I think we've studied in Revelation some, where sometimes stars are referred to as angels or as messengers, God's messengers. The word angel sometimes even refers to, as we saw with the seven churches, it referred to the messengers, the pastors. But in this case, a third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. Now, there are some who will try to say, well, this was actually stars that he took with him. That's not possible. If he took a third of the stars and cast them to the earth, it would have destroyed the earth. We know what stars look like. I think man has done enough research out into space. I mean, if anything is anywhere close to being the size of our sun, which is considered a star, a third of the stars would have destroyed our whole galaxy if they had come this way. So that's not even a possibility, I don't believe. I believe he's talking about the fallen angels here. He took a third of them, the stars of heaven, with him. And he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So the fallen angels would follow him and still do follow him and will continue to follow him all the way into the lake of fire in the end. Remember, it was Satan through Herod who tried to kill the baby Jesus over 2,000 years ago. It was this same Satan who thought he could defeat Christ at the cross. And he failed both times. It was not God's will for that to happen. God had a purpose for his son on this earth, and he fulfilled that purpose. And so you notice there in verse 4, he says, the dragon stood before the woman, speaking of Israel, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. If Satan had known where Mary and Joseph were at the time, and remember, I think we did a study on this sometime last year, where at the time of Christ's birth, well, actually from the time that Mary conceived until after Christ's birth, until he was about 2 years old, when Herod decided to try to kill all the babies, you don't see anything in the scripture about Satan at all. None. He's not working at all. So it's like God shielded Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus during that time to protect them. Did Satan know where they were? Maybe he did, and God just wouldn't let him touch them. Remember, Satan can't do anything without God's permission anyway. But it's as though he wasn't even involved with anything around them at the time. Now, maybe we could say that he had a hand in Joseph having to go pay taxes. You know, that seems pretty evil in itself, but that had to happen too for Christ to be born in the right place, as predicted. It was this same, but it is impossible for a created being, even Satan, to stop God's plans. Satan's just another created being. He's part of God's creation. He's not God. He's not a type of God. Well, I guess he is a type of false God, but he's not even close to being on the level with God. He may think he is, but he's not. And he, like I said, he's another created being. The creation cannot kill the Creator. It's an impossibility. Now, we think on the terms of man, and I guess man could create something that would fall on him and kill him. You know, that happens from time to time, but that's a different situation. In all reality, a creature cannot kill the Creator. It's an impossibility, and especially where God is concerned. During the tribulation, the revived Holy Roman Empire will produce a beast or leader. If you look in the next chapter, Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. This is not Satan. This is the new leader of the world, the leader of the new world, the leader of the one world government, if you will. He's referred to as the beast. We'll get more into that later. This beast will appear to be like the dragon, but will not be the dragon. He's controlled by the dragon, but he's not the dragon. He will be controlled by the dragon, and he will try to destroy what is left of the nation of Israel. That will be his whole purpose for a time. But God will protect them during that time. God's going to protect his elect, the chosen people of Israel. He is going to protect. Now, I don't know, maybe we'll see when we get into the study later, but right now we're just concerned with Israel. Are there Gentiles that are saved during that time? I don't know. I know there will be, I do believe there's going to be some Gentiles saved during the tribulation, but are they going to, they're not going to be part of Israel. This is the nation of Israel that he's speaking of here. So, back in chapter 12, let's read a little bit more. We stopped with verse 6, but let's start with verse 7 and we'll read a little more. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now remember I told you this about the stars in heaven that fell, that the third part of the stars. I think he's talking about these angels that he's talking about right here with Satan. They're the ones that fought. That's where we're going to reference to. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. When the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now remember, we studied a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, where Satan was cast out. He was no longer allowed to enter heaven anymore for a time. He was cast to the earth. Remember the, I believe it was in chapter 9. Yeah, in chapter 9, verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. Remember that? Satan was cast out of heaven and opened the bottomless pit. Now, he mentions a star there. And then... So there's a time during the tribulation where Satan is cast out of heaven and is no longer allowed in. And we know, like today even, as far as we know, from what we understand from Scripture, especially from the book of Job, Satan is able to go and talk with God and discuss things with God. There's places, and we'll get to it at another time, but there's places, other places that talk about where he is able to go into heaven and talk with God and get permission from God to do certain things and to certain people. This war, it comes in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Well, let's read on in verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The devil and Satan. So we know exactly who the dragon is. That's spelled out for us right there. So there's no doubt. Now, we're going to get away from the dragon for now, and the beast. We're going to look more at that next time. But back in verse 6, we see the woman flee into the wilderness. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,203 score years, 3.5 years. Also, I'll tell you what, let's pick up with verse 10 and we're going to read the rest of the chapter, because we're going to discuss some things in these other verses. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God and day and night. And remember, that's one of Satan's jobs. He goes before God day and night accusing the people of God, the family of God, accusing them of their sins. Things that Christ's blood covers. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. See that? And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Satan, at this time, begins to see his time is short. He knows that it's not going to be much longer, and he's going to go away. And when the dragon saw that he was cast in under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. He's going to persecute Israel. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. What is this, a time and times and half a time? It's 3.5 years. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 13 tells us, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. God fed the nation in the wilderness for 40 years during Moses' day. Why wouldn't he take care of Israel during the tribulation and be able to feed her? Some commentators speculate that God may even feed them manna, just like he did in Moses' day. We don't know. But he says he's going to take care of them. He's going to feed them. And they're going to have a special place. Is it not possible? Well, notice God takes care of this woman for 3.5 years in the wilderness. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation. It has to be the last 3.5 years, because up until the midpoint, the two witnesses were there in Israel, in Jerusalem. Now they're forced to leave the land and go into hiding. And that they'll be in hiding for the last 3.5 years. In verse 7, we mentioned the war in heaven, where Michael the archangel and his angels are to fight against Satan and his fallen angels. Look at Daniel chapter 12. And I've kind of been staying away from the book of Daniel during this study, purposely, because I want to do a separate study from the book of Daniel at some point. And maybe when we finish Revelation, we'll do that. But Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Michael, the archangel, is the great prince, it says, which standeth for the children of thy people. He is the protector of Israel, is what I'm understanding from this. He and his angels are going to fight against Satan. Satan's going to lose, and he and his angels will be going to cast out of heaven and sent to the earth. Michael is the one assigned by the Lord to protect the Lord's people in that day. Michael and his angels are going to protect the Lord's people, the nation of Israel. He says, there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. What nation? The nation of Israel. they're going to have, there's going to be more trouble than they have ever seen. They think the Holocaust was bad. Wait till this day. It's going to be much worse. And is it going to be another Holocaust? Probably of sorts, of some sort. I don't know for sure, but it's going to be a horrible time. And they're going to be persecuted greatly. And he says, everyone, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Thy people, not the unsaved, but the saved people, God's elect, the ones that shall be found written in the book. And what book is that? The book of life. So the saved people, God's elect of Israel, are going to be delivered. They're going to be protected, in other words, from Satan and his angels by Michael the Archangel. As a result of this great war, Satan and his angels are cast to the earth, where they will wreak havoc on all those who have any resemblance of God and Christ in them. So, in Satan's anger from being cast out of heaven, he and his fallen angels are going to come to earth, and they're going to wreak havoc on anybody who proclaims the name of Christ, whether it's a false profession or not. They're going to seek to destroy them. But we see where the woman is protected. They will seek to destroy all God's elect on the earth in that day. And just like today, they don't know themselves who God's elect are. Now, we know the Lord tells us that we can compare the spirits, if you will, and we can tell by someone who is not living a good life, maybe, or they have no godliness at all in them, that they're probably not saved. But do the fallen angels, the Satan and the fallen angels, know who God's elect are? I don't know that he tells us that. I don't know. We know that the angels rejoice when the good angels rejoice when one is saved. I take it that they don't know who God's elect are until they're saved, just like we would. They're never going to know, but anyone who has any resemblance of God, anyone who tries to do anything good in the name of God or in the name of Christ, Satan and his fallen angels are going to try to destroy them. But God has his remnant hid out in the wilderness, the nation of Israel. And I see no other way but for this great battle to take place in the middle of the great tribulation. Because she's going to be hid out for 3.5 years. So as soon as the two witnesses are gone, this battle takes place, is what I'm seeing. As it is at that time, as soon as the two witnesses are gone, that things get drastically worse on the earth. And we've looked at that. Remember when we were going through, we're going through the beginning, not in the middle, but beginning the third woe. The seventh trumpet. We know that the three woes, the last three trumpets, things get drastically worse on earth. And it's because Satan and his angels have been cast down. Now, for those who don't believe in a pre-trib rapture, that's something that always puzzles me, because there's no mention. Now, that I'll give them credit. There is no mention of the rapture, or at least we don't see it yet anyway in our study in Revelation. But where is the church during this time? She's not mentioned at all. For whatever reason, the Lord did not have John write in the book of Revelation when the rapture takes place, or at least we haven't seen it yet. I'm going to say, when we continue to go through this, we may see it later, because he doesn't do things chronologically in Revelation always. He does somewhat, but he keeps going back and forth. So hold on to that thought, because we may find it later in our study, but right now, we have not gotten to it. But the church is not mentioned. The Lord's churches are not mentioned. We see Israel mentioned here. Where's the rest of the people? Not Israel is not the only people that God saves. We know that for a fact. If they were, we wouldn't be here. He saves Gentiles too. And I think we've already discussed some time back that there were going to be some Gentiles saved during the tribulation. There's no mention of the Lord's churches in all this. So the rapture, the church has to have been taken out before. And all the studies we've done on remember the studies we've done on the church, on the bride and the bridegroom, he comes, as the examples that are given in the scripture, he comes and takes his bride and her family and entourage, whatever you want to call it, with her, out, takes her to the wedding before anything else happens. So that's why I say there's no other way for it to be other than a pre-trib rapture. If you honestly believe the Lord will let the church go through this time of great tribulation, then why wouldn't you be looking for a place to hide for what is about to happen? With the things that we know that we are reading in Revelation, if we know these things to be true and we see that they're going to happen, and I'll tell you, most people that don't believe in a pre-trib rapture, they will agree that we are in the last days and that these things are either going on, that some of them claim they're going on now, some claim that they're coming soon. You don't see them running and hiding, do you? They're not looking for a place to hide. Why wouldn't you be scared to death that even if you're a child of God, that these things are going to come to pass in your lifetime, as they claim? But you don't see that. Notice there is no mention in what we have studied tonight of the Lord's church, only Israel, or the remnant of Israel. You know, he said, that it was in back in where was that in Daniel, where he said it was those that were in, whose names were in the book of life. So it's not all of Israel, not all that claim to be Israel. It's what we all refer to them as true Israel. They're the ones that are spiritual Israel. They're the ones who the Lord will save. They're God's elect that are in Israel. Where is the Lord's church during the time in which we are studying? She's gone. She's gone off the earth. She's in heaven with her bridegroom. She was called out of this world by her bridegroom 3.5 years prior to the time that we are studying tonight. If what we're seeing tonight starts at the middle of the tribulation, the second 3.5 years, then the church was taken out by her bridegroom 3.5 years prior to this time. So next time, we're going to close with this, and next time we're going to go back and we're going to look more into the dragon and the beast mentioned in this chapter. And Lord willing, we'll end our study in chapter 12 with that study. That part of the study is, we'll see, because most of chapter 13 talks about the beast also. So we may tie the two together. We'll see how much time we have. But, what I've thought too is maybe our study finishing up chapter 12 will lead into chapter 13, and we'll tie them together that way. So we'll see how the Lord leads with that. So that's all we've got for tonight.